We had a very good friend years ago when we first started attending First Baptist Houston, before I was even on staff there, that was an old homicide cop from San Antonio. And a bunch of us couples got together one week and decided we would go over to the Riverwalk. Well, Joylene and I had never been to San Antonio, to the Riverwalk. We had never done that little touristy thing that you're supposed to do. So we were wandering around on the Riverwalk, and back in those days, it wasn't nearly as built up as it is now. There were lots of open spaces, and so we were looking for something, who knows what. But we were looking for something, and we were not having success finding it. And so our friend, who knew San Antonio well, turned to us and he said, "Oh, for crying out loud, walk this way." Well, when he walked, bless his heart, he walked like a duck. Feet out, and here he goes. And so you now have a line of 20 people going down the Riverwalk, all walking. We were walking this way. We were doing exactly what he said, and we have laughed about that 1,000 times or more since. So whenever we hear the phrase, walk this way, he's the one that we immediately think of, and we go back to San Antonio. But that's what Paul was telling the church in Galatia. We've been talking this month about the way, and talking about that the followers, the early followers of Christ, were known as followers of the way. That was the nomenclature of the day. Well, what does it mean to be a follower of the way? If there is a way, the word, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, simply means a road or a path. It is something that you follow. Paul says and indicates in his writings that there are basically two paths that you can follow, and you're going to make a choice. You follow flesh, or you follow the Spirit. You walk in flesh, you walk in the Spirit. Here's what I would to be true, and let's see if there's anybody else in here like me or if I'm the only one. I would love to tell you that my walk with Christ is 100% Spirit and never flesh. I would love to tell you that, but it would be a flesh statement that made it. You get it? I know better. Oh, wretched man that I am, Paul said, I find myself doing these things. We are born again. We walk either by the Spirit or we walk by the flesh. Unfortunately, our way of life defaults to living by the flesh. And our only option as unredeemed humans is the flesh. Christ brings the choice. Now there is a Spirit of Christ that takes residence within us that makes things different. By the way, walking is more than a step or two. Jody, while she was here this last week, said, "Oh, Daddy, I want to go walking with you." I never got more than about 30% of what I normally walked. That's as far as I got, because that's all she could do. If you do 30 minutes at 3.5 miles per hour, you're going to burn about 150 calories, give or take. Okay, so if you want to know what you're doing when you're out there, now that's when you're walking, not moseying. The problem with most of us out here is we mosey. And you do realize that's how I do visitation, because I run into all of you sooner or later and we stand and catch up. Okay, so there is a purpose or a focus when you're actually walking, burning calories, losing weight, improving your health. All of those things, part of walk. Spirit walk is not some vague idea, though. It's an essential, important living as God intends me to live. My priorities change. That's what a spirit walk is. Walking in the Spirit is not some ethereal, vague, emotional situation. It is simply saying, Lord, I want to live my life the way you would have me live it. I want to be effective in sharing your love and your kingdom with someone that needs to know and hear. There's a great contrast that Paul draws between walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit. Let's talk about content. If you're going to walk, it takes energy. It takes energy to walk. You've got to burn some calories. You've got to have some energy. By the way, if you're going to live your life in the flesh, away from God takes a lot of energy, because you're relying completely and totally on yourself for everything with no help. And you wind up, and you'll see this, and you know folks like this, and you've probably been there at one time, exhausted and frustrated because things just, quote, don't work. Listen, there is nobody, not one of us that has ever lived, that has sufficient inner strength to meet the demands of life. That's part of why Christ came for us, was to give us that strength and the energy that we need to cope with the behavior of others. Wow. I mean, I know it's never your problem, but all the rest of us, to cope with us takes more energy than you can put together. Just to cope, okay? Hard work. Paul described it in Romans chapter 7 and 8. He said it like this. He said, I have the desire to do what is good. Identify with that? I do. But I can't carry it out. I do not do the good that I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, I keep on doing. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? That passage we read in Galatians today, unfortunately, some folks think that's an exhaustive list. And as long as you don't do anything that's on that list, or you do the things that are on the list, whichever, you're good or you're not good. And everything depends on the list, and it has absolutely nothing to do with the list. Christ never gave a list. He looked at motives. He looked past the list, past the behavior, to why do I do the things I do? By the way, I went through that list. I'm good. Until it gets to one about angry outbursts. When it gets to angry outbursts, I cringe. Because unfortunately, your pastor has a hair trigger temper. And that is something that I fight with every breath I take. I'm a sweet guy. Sometimes. But I get angry. And when I get angry, I say things, I do things, I react in ways I wish I didn't. I would like to be some other way. But that's the fight between flesh and spirit. That's what that is. And I share that with you because I don't ever want to be on a pedestal out here. I want to be right down there in the mud with you. Okay? We're all the same. The things we fight with may be different, but we all fight with something. We're all struggling. And without the power of the Spirit, we don't have the power within our own flesh to bring about the things that we would like to do. And Paul said it, wretched man that I am, the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I don't do, I wind up doing. And we're there. Thank you, Paul, for being honest. It makes it a little better for the rest of us because we know. Have you ever had the experience of trying to break a bad habit? A habit that you knew was harmful, a habit that you knew was a problem, but every time you turn around, you fell right back into that habit. My dear sweet father quit smoking probably 1,478 times and died with a cigarette in his hand. It just, in the flesh, it wasn't going to happen. And his doctor had told him as clearly as he could, Ted, every time you smoke a cigarette, you're pounding a nail in your coffin. Now that's pretty clear. And Dad said, yeah, I know. Hand me a cigarette. Trying to break the bad habit on your own just doesn't work. We vow to be patient with someone. Not going to let them get to us. We're going to be patient with them. And then we fly right back off the handle. And we're right back where we were. And we're going, oh, that's flesh. We vow that we're going to get up early and exercise. I'll just leave that right there. We mean well. And then we're going to lose weight. I have some good news for you today. Okay, here's your good news for Sunday. There is more to life than paying bills and losing weight. Think about that the rest of the day and you'll smile. All right? There is more to life than paying bills and losing weight. I have been on 5-day diets, 2-day diets, fat, no fat diets, all fat diets, cheap diets, expensive diets. I created what I called the simpleton diet. I figured if I devised a simple diet, I'd be able to follow that. Makes sense, I'm simple. So my diet was you eat one thing. Whatever it is, but you eat that one thing. And that you'll lose weight, just eat that one thing. So I did. The one thing I ate was Chinese food. That's just one thing. And you know what the results that I got. You do know the only diet that's successful is the SIO diet, right? If it tastes good, spit it out. That's the only diet that actually works. We all in this room have vowed to lose weight, exercise, get in better shape, watch our diet, eat healthy. We've all done it. And we go right back to the pizza. You know, I'm frustrated with my microwave oven. I put food in, I hit the pizza button, and it still comes out beans. I just can't seem to get past that. That's flesh, guys. How many times do we stick stuff in God's microwave and push the button and it comes right back out what it was? Because there's nothing in our flesh that allows things to change. We just don't have it in us. So what do? When it's not working, then we redouble the effort. Boy, we emphasize it. Gonna bear down. Repeated failure leads to a revved up willpower. We start reading self-help books. We start going to seminars. Might even gain some temporary ground. But then when we crash, it's more violent than ever. We got further up and you fell further. It's just, that's flesh. It's normal. The next thing that comes out is rules. All right, here are my rules. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. These are my standards, and they're self-imposed, self-created, or we get with a group that has similar rules, and the rules group, that's called religion. Religion is just a set of rules. It has nothing to do with relationship with an almighty and a loving God and tapping into the source of power through his Holy Spirit. It has to do with, I'm going to impress you, God, because I'm going to keep all these rules. I've got this. Boy, you're lucky to have me. We never say it, but that's the attitude behind it. And a relationship with God is never about rules. The specifics of the rules vary. Some demand members fulfill requirements for good standing. Five pillars of Islam. That's rules. That's religion. It's what that is. The Eightfold Noble Path of Buddhism. That's legalism. That's religion. That's what that is. You're trying to impress God with your rule keeping. And then we have the subtle rules. There is a subtle pressure in our society to achieve financial success. We've got to be upwardly mobile. That's a pressure. And it's there, and it's real, and it's on us. And frustration comes in trying to reach that destination. We're just always struggling. Have you ever heard somebody telling their life story and saying, when I was a kid, we were poor, but we were happy? And inside, now, I'm not going to put you on the spot and ask you to be honest, but I'll tell you what happens back here in the Miller brain. When I hear that, I hear, yeah, but how much happier would you have been if you hadn't been poor? That's what I hear. And that's because the pressure in our society is to not be poor. See, my family lived in the Ozarks. My one leg is shorter than the other from walking on those ridges, okay? I define what a hillbilly is. You know the old joke, we live so far back in the hills, we had to go toward town to hunt. That's my family roots. We were poor and didn't know it. Poor, okay? That's poor. But how much happier would we have been? And there is that pressure in our society to conform to that. The problem is I have known people who have achieved enormous financial success, and then they kind of looked around with that look in their eyes that says, Is that all there is? Is that it? I've chased this so hard. And so, is that it? And it's empty and frustrating to reach that destination. You know, the problem with walking a life in the flesh is there's no end line. There's no end result. It's a constant chasing. There is no destination. There's no finish line. You walk in circles and you come back to the same place. It's a never-ending cycle because it's behavior-focused living. It's an effort to success, to failure, to frustration, and repeat. And do it over again. There's no victory in sight. Eventually, the admission of failure leads to shame. I failed. I couldn't make it. And the pretense of perfection leads to arrogance and conceit and hypocritical dead ends. No wonder Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, thanks be to God for his rescue. I have found peace, not through the chase, but in Christ." The walk in the Spirit is available to believers. That's what's ours. Let's talk about that energy. Instead of it depending on me, I'm plugged into his unsearchable riches, unlimited power. I will have a life that means something, that's meaningful, because I'm not constantly chasing a success thing. I'm plugged into an almighty God. I'm not trying to impress him. I'm allowing him to empower me. And there's a world of difference between those two statements. Thanks be to God who dwells and delivers in me through Jesus Christ. Power of the Holy Spirit allows me to walk in the Spirit, and it's an unlimited source of strength. In the flesh walk, there is a constant exhausting effort to earn some sort of righteousness, religion. In a walk with the Spirit, on the other hand, I am strolling with my best friend. He's there to coach me when I need a pep talk. He's there to counsel me when I'm depressed, to advise me when I lack wisdom, to mentor me when I need a model. It's the absolute opposite of being the captain of my own soul. When I hear somebody say, "Well, I'm the captain of my own soul, my own ship," I feel sorry for them because there's no peace there ever. The peace comes when I allow him to go. And the emphasis, instead of revving up my self-will and going to seminars and reading books and I've got this and boy, God, you're lucky to have me, instead of all of that and all the rules, my mind is set on Christ. And Paul said to the Roman church this: those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those of us who live in accordance with the Spirit have our mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind set on flesh, death. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Breathe. You're his child. I tell you that so often because I want that truth to just be so focused in the center of your head. You're his child. Breathe. You live in the power of his Spirit, not your flesh. And the end result? The Spirit walk leads you to a life of victory. John said it like this to the church: everyone born of God overcomes the world. That's victory. Overcome, victory. We win. This is the victory that has overcome the world: our faith. Not our strength, not our behavior, not our lists, not redoubling our efforts, living in him and just breathing. There's an amazing promise in our reading today. It says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of the flesh." I appreciate the fact that different ones of you at different times hold me accountable for things. And I am so grateful for you. I really am. Because it helps me remember whom I am here to serve. And when I get myself off over here, I want somebody to say, hey, man, and pull me back. Let God do what he does. And we try to do that for each other. That's not being mean or ugly or judgmental or anything else. That's the love pulling us back. It's just that simple. Don't live to the flesh, you live to the Spirit. Live to the Spirit, you won't live to the flesh. You can't do both at the same time. You can't play football and basketball at the same time. Can't do it. One or the other, but you can't do it. Jesus overcame by the power of the Spirit. And so do we. Here's the deal. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness. Galatians 5, right? All those things. That's the fruit of the Spirit. So if I'm living to the Spirit, then all that list that we read this morning that's in our bulletin, that list doesn't happen because I've got my mind focused on this list over here. And I'm doing these things. They're living out through me. I replace bitterness with love, anger with joy, resentments with peace and patience, legalism with faithfulness, frustration with peace. All of those things, as I focus on the Spirit of God, he lives through me. Here's the bottom line. I'm going to give you a phrase you need to write down in your Bible. Put this someplace where you'll read it relatively often. God's plan is real simple. It's to replace you with him. It's just that simple. All the you decisions become him decisions. All the you behaviors become the him behaviors. It's a simple phrase, but that's it. Let me tell you about downward mobility, not upward mobility. Flesh demands we are struggling for that upward mobility. Have you ever heard someone say to a friend or a colleague at work, congratulations on your demotion? We just don't hear that one, do we? Have you ever thrown a party and said, man, I'm glad to hear you lost your fortune? We go, oh me, because there's that pressure inside. That's the flesh. We've got to, it's our pride. It's, here we are. But Christ was the antithesis of upward mobility. He never stopped descending. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but he was omnipotent, all powerful, but he cried. That's the antithesis of power. He was the owner of all things, but he was homeless. King of kings became a servant. Source of all truth, found guilty of blasphemy. He was the creator, but he was spit on by his creation. Literally. The giver of life was nailed to a cross, naked, bleeding, gasping for air. He was the pinnacle of praise in the universe, and he suffered the ultimate debasement and torture on the cross. Let me tell you something. Christ violated every single tenet of the world's system. Of the flesh. The highest came to serve the lowest. The creator came to pour himself out. The one who possessed everything gave it all up for us. The cross, from the world perspective, is a symbol of foolishness. Still is. Always will be. But it totally accomplished the purpose for which it was established. Christ wasn't killed on the cross. Christ gave himself on the cross. And there's a world of difference in those statements. he was fully in control. Downward mobility. What did it get him? Cross and a tomb? No. What it got him, Paul said, was a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I have people say to me all the time, I don't believe that. And I look right at them and I say, that's up to you. Doesn't matter whether you believe it. It's still truth. You can't look at and define electricity, but just stick your hand, fingers in the socket and see whether you believe in it. The fact that you can't see it doesn't make it less real. I don't understand why God has chosen to do things the way he has. But here's the deal. He's God. I'm not. And all I want to be is his child. Aren't you glad you know him? Aren't you glad for the sacrifice that he gave? Aren't you glad that your eternity is secure? Aren't you glad that you don't have to be that person that you hate? But because of his spirit, we have a choice. We can walk after the flesh, yes, or we can walk after the spirit. We can understand what downward mobility brought us and live accordingly. Let's pray. Stand with me, would you please? Lord Jesus, today I love you more than I did yesterday. Because, Lord, every time I review these notes or I move forward or I share something of the gospel, I learn four times more than I get to share with somebody. And every time I do that, I learn something more and I love you even more. And I can't wait for tomorrow because I'll love you even more then. But here's the wonderful part of all of that is I'm loving to learn you more. You love me the same, and you always have. You love me enough to sacrifice everything in order for me to know you. Lord, Paul commanded us to do this, to walk after the Spirit. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. If we're going to follow the way, then this is what we do. We do it this way. We walk this way. It's a walk after the flesh. Please, Lord, energize us. Keep our emphasis on serving and loving and enjoying moving forward in the kingdom, that we may one day see you face to face. Lord, let our life be effective for you. Let our witness be sure and secure. Keep us focused, Father, I ask, upon you in the name of Jesus. Give us life, and we will give you praise. We sing because we know we are blessed.